Nice to see all of you actually in person. And thank God that we can gather little by little. And those of you online, welcome as well. We're delighted wherever you are that you're tuning in live and receiving of the Father's love and worshiping together with us. God is a good God, and like Josh said, He is preeminent in all things, and so we can rejoice and let our hearts be happy indeed. Heidi and I have been traveling a little bit, and some parts of the country are more open than others, so we have been invited to go preach and share the love of the Lord, which has been really exciting for us once again after all these months. But no better place for me to preach than right here at Mission City Church. And to all my beautiful, beloved friends and loved ones. So God's working in your heart, working in your life, and we don't have to be discouraged about anything. We just need to continue to keep our hearts and ears open to what He's saying and live, respond accordingly. And this is the beauty of believing every day in our life. So God's good, and again, thanks for joining us today. You can follow along with me in your Bible. I don't know if you still bring a physical Bible or have a digital Bible or whatever you use, but thank God it's the Word. The Word needs to get into our hearts. It needs to be renewed into our minds. And so you can follow along with me. And of course, we'll have many of the references on the screens as well. So let's pray together, and then we'll get right into the Word. But before I pray, let me say my friends have come. The Russells from San Gabriel Valley. We're so glad you're here. Newfound Grace Church, they pastor. And I got a text last night. So delighted you guys are here today. And we need to have a little time afterwards or lunch or something, but we're honored that you're here. These are precious friends that support the work of Mutual Faith. And they just lost their location for their church. The church building they were meeting in was sold to a developer, so they lost their space for their message of grace. But grace always has a place to seep in and move around, and so we're just honored you to all join us today. And I know your hearts are going to be refreshed as well for the assignment and ongoing ministry God has in your hearts for your world and your community. So now let's pray. Father, again, thank you for loving us completely. Thank you for favoring us abundantly. Thank you for blessing us eternally. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus, that our lives are hid in Christ, in God. Thank you that the Word is alive. It's full of power. It's active, it's operating, it's energizing, it's effective in each of our lives today for our personal world, for our families, for those that we interact with, Father. We just thank you, Jesus, you're Lord of all. We say, let our hearts not be troubled at all today about anything. We're putting our faith and trust in you. Thank you that you're lifting us up. Thank you that you're wrapping us up with your goodness and grace today. And again, restoring us and renewing us and thrilling us with the gospel. We thank you, Father, that healing and wholeness and well-being, every need that any of us have, Father, we declare is met in advance. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, if you have a Bible, follow along with me. Jesus made a statement in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, he said to them, take heed what you hear. I don't know about you, but my mind can be really messed up by noontime every day just based on the nonsense that I hear. You know what I mean? I mean, our world is so full of so many voices and so many things, and sometimes if you give your mindset to things that aren't of the Father, it's going to disturb your spirit and it's going to lead you astray. So Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And then it goes on to say, he said again in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he said, therefore, take heed how you hear. So in two different instances, Jesus gives his followers some advice, some counsel. He said, take heed what you hear. And take heed how you hear. You know, if you just give your heart and your mindset to anything and everything, you're going to be so full of judgment, so full of condemnation. You're going to echo slanderous things about people that you don't even know if it's true or not true. And it's amazing how quickly your mindset and your heart and your whole demeanor can slide when you don't guard what you hear or how you hear. This week I had different conversations with different friends, and one friend I haven't heard from for a long time, he called me. He's a pastor, And he's got a wonderful church, and he was sharing with me some of the challenges that he has trying to manage and lead during this whole COVID situation. Like any leader, you know, there's challenges and difficulties, and you've got to figure out how to say things and what to say and when to say it and how to communicate it so people can understand your worldview and your heartbeat and the way you're trying to lead them. And it's so difficult. But he was telling me a story that his daughter, who was living in another state, had come to visit him. And then at the end of the service, she says to her dad, she said, "You know, Dad, I'm almost ashamed to tell you this, but," she said, "I haven't been in church in 6 months. She said, "And, you know, I thought I would listen online and things, but online, you know, I get a little distracted, and I might have the Facebook or the YouTube or the different media that people use online, but I'm not really listening. I'm not really hearing." And she was talking to her father about how quickly that she could find herself disappointed by not hearing and hearing again the Word of God. You know, the Bible says faith comes to you by hearing, not by having heard, but by hearing. It's present tense, and hearing the Word of God. And so it's very, very important that you and I take Jesus's admonition and take heed what we hear and how we hear, and make sure we're still hearing. It's interesting to me how many people can use circumstances as an excuse not to get into the Word of God. And they wonder then why their hearts aren't anchored in Him and their worldviews aren't anchored in Him. And they'll fall for anything. They buy into anything and they still think all is well. But you're going to learn today that you fall from the place where God lifts you to when you don't hear properly, when you don't listen properly and adhere properly to the Word of God. Let me explain what I mean by telling you a little story. This is our text today. It's out of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And I'm just going to read. You can follow along with me. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Now, some of you think Josh preaches a little long, or you might think his dad preaches a little long, but we don't preach till midnight. Hallelujah, huh? I mean, sometimes it may feel that way, but we don't. Anyway, Paul, you know, he was full of the revelation of grace that God revealed to him. And he was so full and thrilled with the gospel of grace that he preached until midnight. The next verse says, "There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together." I want you to know there's always illumination. There's always revelation. There's always light wherever the Pauline revelation is being declared. When I use that term Pauline revelation, the Apostle Paul, you know, was really given the revelation about the new creation, about who we are in Christ. So, you know, all his writings after this book, the book of Acts, which talks about his life and his conversion and his missionary journeys of preaching, the epistles, the letters, are basically, most of them are written by the Apostle Paul. And it's all about who we are in Christ and what God has done for us in the death and burial and the risenness of Jesus Christ. It's called the Pauline revelation. It's the message of grace. And it says, whenever this is preached, there's light, there's illumination, where people gather around the beauty of the Lamb of God. Verse 9, Acts 20, verse 9. It says, "In a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep." You know, today there's a lot of people who sleep at the gospel. They think, "Oh, I heard that before. Oh, I heard God loves me completely. I've heard that before." They think it's elementary. They want to go into something bigger and better and deeper and broader, whatever. But listen, the gospel that Paul preached is the most thrilling gospel, and it needs to thrill you daily. It needs to be a part of your daily life. You can't fall asleep to the message of grace. This, in a way, is like the picture of the church today that falls asleep at the message of the gospel of the finished work of Jesus. And they want something else. They want something they can do. They want something to better themselves. They want something to feel good. But the gospel of grace is something you shouldn't fall asleep to. You shouldn't give yourself an excuse not to hear the gospel of grace. And this is what sometimes I think, even during COVID and all kinds of excuses people can have. They can draw weight and not listen, not hear, not fellowship, not gather around the message that holds them together. And I'll show you in a bit how it's going to hold you together. It's really, really powerful. So we sink into a deep sleep. This guy Eutychus. Eutychus, by the way, the name Eutychus means good fortune. Good fortune. The gospel of Jesus and his finished work is your good fortune. It says he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story, and he was taken up dead. So he fell asleep to his own destruction. Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, and said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. I'm calling this today the embrace of grace. I'm calling this the embrace of the Pauline revelation. It's your way back into good fortune. It's the way you get lifted up. You need somebody to love you enough to give you an embrace you can't escape. An embrace you can't shake off. An embrace that holds you down. An embrace that smothers you. You need an embrace of grace. I can tell very quickly by the mindsets of people, by the conversations of people, how quickly they've fallen from the message of the gospel. By what they believe, by what they do, by what they follow, by what they adhere to, by the conversations. And you can tell somebody who needs to be embraced. They need the gospel. They need an embrace that makes them uncomfortable, so to speak. Have you ever met anybody that would hug you? I remember when I was a little kid growing up, I had a couple great aunts. And every time they saw me, oh my goodness, they'd smother me. You know what I mean? And there were nice, beautiful, loving ladies, of course. But, I mean, they would embrace me, and not let me escape. And I was so glad when I could break free from their embrace. I remember many years ago, one of the pastors that first helped me when Heidi and I were young, starting in ministry, his name was Roger. Pastor Roger, what a beautiful brother. But every time he saw you, he would embrace you. And he would hold you and not let you go, almost to the point that I felt a little uncomfortable. I mean, I like to be, you know, huggy, so to speak. And I like to shake people's hands. But usually my embraces are kind of on the side. This guy was just a frontal, full-on, full-blown, you know, not let you go embrace. But this is what Paul did. Paul, he went down and he embraced this guy who was dead. This guy who was dead to the revelation of the Pauline preaching. He was dead to it. And he laid on him and embraced him. And then he said something. His life is in him. I want you to know, if you really are addicted to the love of God in Christ, you can see everyone through the finished work of Jesus. And you'll see life in them, even when the whole world sees them counted out and dead. This is what we sang about this morning, friends, in the songs, you know, about the breathing on people and the dry bones and speaking life into things. You know, the lyrics of that song is a similarity where we have to embrace people with a different worldview, because the worldview they're holding to is bringing them down, and the worldview they're tying their whole identity in is going to destroy them. They don't know it. They don't know it. But grace always comes to the rescue. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. He embraced him in such a big way. And Paul fell on him and embraced him, said, do not trouble yourselves, verse 10. His life is in him. Verse 11. And now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten. They had communion. The best way to celebrate any victory, even the raising of the dead, is by partaking of the body and the blood of the Lamb. By having communion. Your victory is always in Jesus. And this is where our authority is. This is the message. Don't let the message get stale. Don't let it get old. You need it desperately every day. It holds you together. It keeps you seated in the heavenly places, in your mindset, so you can live in this world that's full of filth and sin and fear and you know, the devilish works, and you can stand against it. In Jesus' name, you can. And so they had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while. Sometimes it's good just to have a good chit-chat, to yak with. There's times where we need to just be thrilled that God is raising up people and be thrilled that, hey, we are hugging, we are smothering people with the love of God, people that have fallen down and they don't even know they're fallen. They're pagan in their mindset and they think they're followers of Jesus. And we need to smother people with the revelation of the finished work of Jesus. And then verse 12, it goes on to say this, and they brought the young man alive. And they were not a little comforted. I think that's cool. They brought him alive. This shows me that no matter what is going on that's wrong in your life or in your family life or your marriage or with your kids or your grandkids or your world, whatever seems to be dead, we have a different worldview. It's called the Pauline Revelation. It's called the message of the finished work of Jesus. It's the new covenant of grace. And this is what we proclaim. And this is what we immerse ourselves in daily so we can give it away. So when we're immersed in it, we can talk of it. We can talk about it through the night with people sometimes. We can hug people without saying things. Listen, the love of God can soak into anybody, anywhere, in any way, and even digitally. Those of you watching online today, it's very, very important that we understand. This is the goodness of God. So this is the embrace of grace, the way into good fortune. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but before we talk about some of it further, let's look briefly at the Apostle Paul's preaching history, because, you know, he's the main character kind of in the story from his preaching methodology. He preached till midnight, and the guy fell from the third floor out the window. But look what it says. Yeah, about Paul's preaching history, and we'll talk a little bit about the Pauline, what's called, commonly called by theologians, the Pauline revelation. Paul's conversion in Acts 9 is where Jesus met him. His name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. He was a religious, brilliant man, studied, just so knowledgeable in the law. A Pharisee, he would describe himself as. So he was a brilliant man, but somehow and in some way, Jesus had an appointment with him. And you know that story about there was a light from heaven brighter than the noonday sun that knocked him off his horse, and Jesus began to have a conversation with him. And from this conversation, this whole revelation unfolded for him, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Paul believed it and received it. It's really, really remarkable. And it says there then that straightway he preached Christ, the Son of God. In other words, he preached the salvation message. This was the revelation of Christ that was to him personally. It was for the whole world, but the message came, Jesus came to him, and he received on that road to Damascus. But after his conversion, the Apostle Paul learned more revelation about this Jesus directly from the Father, not other Jewish leaders, not from any other human being, but out in the wilderness of Arabia. And he talks about this when he writes the Church of Galatia. This is Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at a couple of verses here, starting in verse 16. This would be, in his words, maybe a better frame of the Pauline revelation. So to reveal a son in me. Notice the revelation that Paul got directly when he isolated himself and the Holy Spirit showed him exactly the gospel he was to preach. It was the message that the son, Jesus, was in him. It's Christ in you. It's the Pauline revelation, not just to you, but in you.
He said that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me. I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So this is what is known really as the Pauline revelation, which is Christ in me, Christ in the believer. This revelation is contained in all the epistles Paul wrote to the church, the believers. That's why when you read his stuff, man, it's pretty cool. I love to hear when Josh preaches, you know, on the book of Revelations and Galatians. He did a series once on the book of Galatians and Colossians and Ephesians. And these are rich realities of who you and I are in Christ Jesus. It's the Pauline revelation. And when you fall asleep to it, you'll fall. And you'll fall to the point where you think you're dead. You'll act like you're dead. You'll act like you're spiritually dead. You'll live like the world. And you'll enjoy it. Because you've fallen away from hearing the revelation, really, of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. This is the revelation for the church, for all of us, that Christ is in us. Or Paul would like, he would say at times, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's amazing. So it's not just knowing Jesus according to the flesh, natural life, or the natural stories, but it's knowing Jesus according to his redemptive work. This is what Paul revealed. You know, really, when you think about it, when you look at your Bible in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about Jesus according to his physical life, right? You hear the Bible stories and everything. But Acts then talks about the church expanding and the missionary journeys of Paul and other people, Gentiles, receiving the gospel. But then Romans on, it's not Jesus according to the flesh, it's Jesus according to the cross and resurrection. In other words, Jesus according to his redemptive work. It's the revelation of Jesus in a whole different way, not according to his flesh. This is why Paul tells the church of Corinth, this is 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus longer. Know him thus no longer. It's very, very important that we understand that what Paul is preaching is all about the unending love of the Father for each of us and what he's done for us through his death and resurrection. Paul's revelation is knowing Jesus according to his redemptive life, and that's what's so powerful. Look real quick at Philippians chapter 3. This is in verse 8, starting in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Now, what's he talking about? The knowledge of Jesus according to the flesh or the redemptive life of Jesus? Well, let's read on. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So he's talking about knowing him according to his redemptive life, because Paul preaches and teaches that you and I were included in Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we ascended with him and we're seated with him. Josh made reference to it even today. It's powerful, but this is what gives you hope. This is where the power of the gospel is. And this is why you got to take heed what you hear and how you hear. You're not going to find this Pauline revelation just because there's a church building somewhere. There's not everybody that understands or believes the truth of the message of grace. And this is why it's so very powerful that we learn and grow and continually gather and we continually talk one with another and we continually share the meal together, because this is what stabilizes. This is what holds our lives together. This is what holds your mind together when the world goes nuts. This is what holds you together when everybody around you is shaken. You're built on the rock of revelation, the revelation of Jesus as Lord. Now, Paul had all kinds of revelations and experiences from the Lord. And look at Peter says about Paul. 2 Peter 3:16. This is what the Apostle Peter says. And also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul or the Pauline revelation, also in all his, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. See, this is why a lot of times the church falls asleep at Paul's preaching, because they don't get it. And they fall asleep. They don't give themselves to it. You know, this is why sometimes, for example, Wednesday night, I was watching the service online. And I'm just thrilled. I got my Bible out on the couch. I've got it up on the TV. I've got it on my phone as well. I mean, I'm making notes, comments sometimes, and I'm underlining everything Josh is saying. And he's talking about all these the exiles, right? Three different exiles or whatever. Now, I couldn't preach that message in 1,000 years with that much content. And he did it in one service. But you can tell why it seems to be heavy. It's kind of like this expression of Paul. It's hard to... You've got to give yourself to the message of grace. And that's why I think the beautiful thing about... You and I have access in this place, Mission City Church, to really, really get anchored in the beauty of the love of God in Christ and live our lives in pure cooperation with the Holy Spirit and see miracles. And this is why all the different miracles that have happened here in the last year and a half, 2 years, whatever, the testimonies that we're receiving, just astonishing, beautiful miracles in the lives of people. People have been raised up and established. Why? Through the revelation, the Pauline revelation, which our pastor, Josh, is preaching. And sometimes it's hard, but wade through it. Don't get disappointed. Don't draw back. Don't be like the pastor's daughter and say, it's just too much. It's just easier. I've got an excuse, COVID. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. Nothing's open, blah, blah, blah. No, don't give yourself those kind of excuses. It'll be detrimental to you. It'll be detrimental. You'll need somebody to wrap you up with an embrace of grace. And maybe me. I'll come embrace you. I'll come embrace you in your lowest point, in your biggest failure. I'll be your biggest supporter. I'll do it because I always believe in seeing people through the lens of the Lamb of God. And this is what's beautiful about what Paul did to this man. And this is why even Peter says some of these things are hard to understand. Look at the next phrase. It says 2 Peter 3:16, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. People that aren't established in the revelation of grace, they'll twist everything. They'll justify anything and everything, whether it's a political thing, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a personal thing. They'll give themselves whatever kind of twisted mindset just so their flesh can be happy, so to speak. But it's because people don't give themselves to the revelation of grace. And so I just want to encourage you that the revelation of Paul is so necessary. It represents the grace embrace. Simply put, the revelation of Paul is that I might be found in him. It's about knowing Jesus, not just according to the flesh in Bible stories. It's knowing him according to his redemptive work, where you find your life. This is how you know you're a new creation. The only way you and I can know you're a new creation is through the Pauline revelation. And that's why the next verse, I read verse 16, the next verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The way you know you're a new creation is by understanding the Pauline revelation. And this is why I think it's so very important that you always find a place for grace. You find a place where you discipline yourself for the Word of God. You say, you know what? I'm going to set myself aside. I'm going to receive. I'm going to hear, even if it's hard. Even if, the old man, Keith Hershey, preaches a little long, I'm going to give myself to the revelation of the love of the Lamb. Whatever it is, it's very, very important, because you'll find it necessary in that day or in that week. The revelation of Jesus is that important. So now let's go back real quick to our text. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 7. He continued speaking till midnight. In that the reference, like I say, sometimes the Pauline revelation can seem laborious. It can seem long. I've been reading a book the last couple of days on that Josh gave me from his library, and it's all on the Pauline revelation. And I'm listening and reading and listening, and some of it is just like, what, really? This is crazy good. This thrills your spirit. And when you can rightly divide the word of truth, man, you have a supernatural confidence that you're righteous before God. And it's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with the one who's rescued you, Jesus, being in him. It's very powerful. So give yourself in when there's books, when there's teachings, when there's, you know, listen, you know, what I've found even when I've been traveling, you know, we'll listen to the church services live when we can, when it's in a close enough time zone to connect. If we can't listen to it live, we always listen to it, Heidi and I, sometimes together, sometimes independently. Sometimes I listen to things twice because it's a lot, but it's powerful, it's rich, it's important. And listen, if it's important for the old guy, I bet it's important for you too. I bet it's important for you too. Because you know what? I don't want to fall. I don't want to have a fall. I don't want to just fall from grace and just live a life back to my own capacity and ability, or, you know, my obedience to the law. Man, what a depressing life that would be. Thank God I'm free in Christ, huh? Look at verse 8 now. The next verse. Acts 20, verse 8. This talks about those lamps in the upper room. This is where there's true illumination. This is where revelation flows. Verse 9, Acts 20, verse 9. This young man, Eutychus. You know, the church is sleeping at the Pauline revelation. A lot of people still want to live according to the law of Moses. They still want to qualify. They still want to live based on confessing all their sins. Well, you know, have at it. You know, it's impossible to do. It's impossible to do. I remember when I used to live that way, you know, I would confess my sins constantly, like every day, because I was such a loser. Man, the revelation of grace showed me who I was and my victory. I could awake to righteousness and I wouldn't sin. That's what the Bible teaches. It's amazing. When you give yourself to the love of the Lamb, everything about your worldview changes. And this is where you find your good fortune. Verse 10, Acts 20, verse 10. The embrace of grace is what you need. You need to be smothered. There's no other options. There's no other counseling that can make you comfortable. There is no other, you know, political worldview that will lift you up. It's the kingdom of God. And you need somebody to stand with you and be with you a long time. Right. You know, I think I see Estelle here in the back of the sanctuary. She and Mike just celebrated 44 years of marriage. Isn't that wonderful? Give them a hand. That's just powerful. But you know, when you talk about their lives and when they've testified of it and different things, you know, everything hasn't been just hunky-dory. It's not all just turned up roses every day. They had struggles and pain and problems and failures and falls and whatever, however you want to define it. But they called us last night or the night before, and you know, we just rejoiced with them and on this big anniversary. But they were talking about that in a point of pain. That Heidi and I loved. Never condemned them. We just loved them. You never know the miracle of your embrace. You never know what it does. The grace embrace lifts you up. The grace embrace gets you out of depression. The grace embrace delivers you from every fear. The grace embrace brings you to a higher level. The grace embrace will always bring restoration. The grace embrace will always give you new life. Always. So don't fall asleep. Take heed what you hear. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. You better be listening to the gospel. Because the world will fill you with a bunch of nonsense. Don't fall asleep. Make this New covenant, revelation, your reality. Make it your priority. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lamb of God. It's all about His finished work. Those who have fallen are living without this revelation knowledge. They're still trying to please God according to the law. Those who still are bound in sin, they all need to be embraced and receive the love of God. Go with me real quick, Galatians 5, verse 4. Paul says this, "You've become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace." Those that don't want to hear and receive and live according to the Pauline revelation, those are the ones that fall from their high place. It's not sin that makes you fall. It's the lack of your revelation that you're walking in that makes you fall. Paul said you fall from grace when you don't live in the revelation of the finished work of Jesus. And Jesus is of no effect unto you. That's what it says. It's a powerful verse. You're estranged from Jesus Christ. Grace is your highest level, and grace places you seated with Him in the heavenly places. You start with grace, you grow in grace, and you finish with grace. Every day of your life is Jesus, 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 and His redemptive work. Eutychus means good fortune. Like I told you, good fortune is for you today. This good fortune is for all those who receive the grace embrace and live established in the revelation of Christ in you. I love it. I love it. Let me show you a couple other things real quick. Verse 11 again. This is Acts 20, verse 11. They had communion. This is the way to rejoice. This is the way we celebrate victories of even people being restored in a marriage, people being raised from the dead, people being healed from COVID, people, whatever the deal is, we rejoice. Well, Jesus said, even when you cast out the devil, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, our rejoicing is always in the Lamb. And what I like what Paul did, I mean, they could have had a party, they could have started dancing and singing glory, glory, hallelujah, whatever, for 14 hours because this guy who everybody said was dead, was Paul raised him from the dead, but Paul never saw him dead. Grace always sees the finished work working when people can't see it. His life's in him. And the way they rejoiced was having communion and talking about the goodness of God. So give everybody around you the embrace they really need. It's an embrace of grace. Encounter everybody with a revelation of the beauty of what Jesus has done. And also give grace to yourself. Hug yourself. Embrace yourself. Say how to do that. Well, Paul did it. Let me show you real quick. This is my last verse. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9. Do we have that on the screen? Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. That's the Pauline revelation that God gave him. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. See, the devil hates your guts. And if the devil wants to take you out, he'll use anything. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't be afraid of cancer. Don't be afraid of nothing. Listen, you and I are in Christ Jesus. And you're going to be attacked for the revelation that you have of the Lamb of God. That's where you're attacked. By the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, this attack from hell, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Paul wanted to be delivered from the hassles of the enemy. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer like that? I have, often, okay? But verse 9 says, and he said to me, this is what God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. God told Paul that grace was enough. And God said the power of Christ is when grace prevails. The power of Christ. The power of Christ rests on you when you have a grace embrace. Three times Paul asked, he got the same answer every time. Grace is enough. See, however screwed up you think your life is, or your world, or your family, or your marriage, or yourself, or your kids, or whatever, grace is enough for you. Grace is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is enough for you. He's enough. So give yourself a grace embrace. Announce it. Use your mouth. Speak over your mind. Listen. Take heed what you hear. Tune into the services. If you can come, come. If you're not comfortable coming, don't come. But tune in. Go over the word that's being heard right here. It'll stabilize your life. It'll bring illumination and revelation. And you'll find within yourself the power of God, which will prevail in all things. Did you all enjoy the word today? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Josh is going to come lead us in communion. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the embrace of grace. Thank you that you lift us up. Father, I pray for every individual, every family, those in person, those watching live on the different streams, Father. I ask in Jesus' name, they would so embrace themselves now with the revelation of the Lordship of Jesus, the gospel of grace, the death and rising of Jesus that secures us eternally. Father, this is the power of Christ for our lives today. I break authority over every satanic assignment, every strategy of hell, every demonic force that tries to disrupt, destroy, minimize, I break the power of the enemy over our mindsets, over our physical bodies, over our relationship. Jesus, bring restoration. Bring restoration in all of our lives. We thank you for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.